the thing that no one else was prepared to do. He did the thing, the very thing that this man needed the most. He needed to be touched. And Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man who probably had never been touched by another non-leprous person for a very long time. He touched the man and said, "I am willing, be clean." And immediately, the leprosy left him. There's a lot to learn from that scripture. That faith in God is of itself a powerful thing. That Jesus heals, that nothing is too difficult. No disease beyond his power to heal. That he's compassionate. A lot to learn here. And scripture tells us that he touched the man and healed him, which he did pretty much everywhere he went. Everywhere Jesus went, he touched people and healed them. Some of physical illnesses, some of other illnesses. But you know, I find verse 16 almost kind of out of place in this account of this great healing. Luke chapter 5 verse 16 says, "Yet the news spread about him all the more, so that crowds of people come to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses." Verse 16, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Why was that? In the middle of this great account of Jesus' mercy and grace and power, why did Jesus find it necessary to leave all the problems aside and seek some personal time with his Father? Could it be that Jesus is trying to show us something here? Why punctuate this, you know, this great demonstration of God's power and mercy with the statement, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed"? I was reading a commentary by Adam Clark, and I don't know, but you may feel a little bit rebuked by what he has to say. I know I did. And yet I'm sure we all know it's true. And this is what he had to say. "Jesus made it a frequent custom to withdraw from the multitudes for a time and pray, teaching hereby the ministers of the gospel that they are to receive fresh supplies of light and power from God by prayer, that they may be the more successful in their work, and that they ought to seek frequent opportunities of being in private with God and their books. A man can give nothing," he says, "unless he first receives it. And no man can be successful in the ministry who does not constantly depend upon God for the excellence of the power is all from him." Why is there so much preaching, he goes on, and so little good done? Is it not because the preachers mix too much with the world, keep too long in the crowd, and are so seldom in private with God? Whoa, when I read that, just get this knife out, it went straight to my heart. When I read that, I realized that it's true. It's not bad to want to do things to help people. It's not bad to want to be with people. But you know, we can do probably far more for those people if we spend time, intimate time with God. I believe in that scripture that we've just read, Luke is revealing Jesus' methodology and in the process revealing the true source of power for every Christian. And that is the intimate communication with God and quality time spent in his presence is really important. When things overwhelm us and life seems to be way too hard, maybe it's because we've tried in our own strength instead of calling on God for his strength and his strategies. I would say beyond any shadow of doubt, and on many occasions, Jesus spent time alone with God and it was important to him. And if Jesus couldn't do without praying to his Father, how can we expect to overcome the problems of life or bring change? How can we bring hope to a hopeless situation? Or how could we expect to see the sick miraculously healed unless we do the same, unless we spend time, intimate, personal, private time with our Creator, with our Father? He often prayed alone, Jesus. And it seems more than night, it was in the early hours of the morning. In Mark chapter 1, verse 32, it says that that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Yeah, a thought, isn't it? And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. He went off to a solitary place and he met with his Father. I once heard a great old preacher by the name of Bob Mumford. Does anyone know Bob Mumford? Yeah, he's a lovely guy. And he preaches a long sermon, but he tells some interesting stories. He preached a sermon once, it was actually in 1988, I've never forgotten it. And it was called Running on Empty. And he said he said that praying in the beginning of the day is kind of like filling your car with petrol before you go on a long trip. When you pray before you face the day, it's kind of like getting yourself prepared for the journey ahead. He told the story that he and a friend had to go on this journey, and they were busy. They jumped in the car and headed off to the middle of nowhere. Darkness fell. He was driving along, they were talking, and the red light come on, a little red light that says, danger, petrol running low. And he said he knew that they were about 40 or 50 kilometres from the nearest petrol at that stage. He said, we were driving along and we started praying that God would just kind of do this and, you know, make the petrol kind of hang out. He said before long he found himself rebuking the devil and, you know, everything that he could think of. He was throwing the lot at this petrol situation. And the guy that was with him kind of looked at him and said, actually, Bob, it's not actually the devil's fault. It's you didn't fill up with petrol. That was what the problem was. And that's true. You know, we can approach the day. We can approach life. We can approach serious situations. And we can be running on empty when we do it. And you know, while it's true we can pray at any time, it seems Jesus mostly did it before he faced the day. And maybe that's something we should take note of. Take time to pray before the world, you know, gets possession of our thoughts, before fear has a chance to get in. Pray before the devil has a chance to destroy our plans. Pray while the world around us is quiet and we have time to sit and listen to our Heavenly Father. Pray at a time when we're able to give Him our full attention. How many times have we shot a quick prayer up as we're rushing to some place, saying, God, please provide for this. Please help me in this. I guess we've all done it, or maybe it's just me. Now, there's a time when I thought the people who prayed all the time were God botherers. And maybe I even saw them as a little bit weak or maybe a bit too religious. But, you know, from the moment I got saved, I realized that that was not true. Jesus tells us that he wants us to pray to him and that he wants to answer our prayers. I'm going to read some scriptures. Check these out. Write them down if you want. Go over them. These are powerful scriptures, but I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says Jesus just couldn't be bothered listening to someone's prayer. Or that Jesus felt that he just wouldn't worry about giving an answer. If you've got your Bibles, open to Matthew chapter 7. We'll start at verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Interesting thought, isn't it? We expect the good gifts, but do we always ask? Matthew 18, chapter 19. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything and you ask for it, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Matthew 21, verse 21. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. These are the red letters. Don't be tempted to rationalize this or to try to apply logic to these scriptures. Jesus is speaking and he's saying, pray. It doesn't matter what you need, how difficult it might seem to you. I believe Jesus is saying, I want you to speak to me about it and ask for what you need and leave the answering part to me. Luke 11, verse 11. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? John 14, 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Every scripture that we've read, is asking us or telling us to ask. We need to ask. I wonder sometimes if some of the prayers I pray could actually bring glory to the Father. It says here that, that I will do whatever you ask in my name so the Son may bring glory to the Father. I'm not sure that every prayer I pray is a prayer that would bring glory to the Father anyway. Nevertheless, God likes it when we ask. In John chapter 16, Jesus, speaking of his impending death on the cross, said in verse 23, in that day, you will no longer ask me for anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name, though. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And in case someone should try to tell you sometime that this was only for the disciples or only for the Jews or only for that time period right back then, listen to what Paul has to say to the Gentile believers in Rome, in Romans 10 and verse 12. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. You can underline that. He richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hebrews 4:16, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We can go in there boldly. Therefore, brothers, Hebrews 10 verse 19. Did I say Hebrews 4:16 before? Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Or finally, what about this one in 1 John 5, starting at 13? I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. And this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. You know, there's more scriptures than that. But somehow we tend to put them in the too hard box. Or maybe sometimes we put them in the too hard to believe box. I don't know. But all these passages from God's word tell us that there can be no question that God wants us to pray and that he promises to answer our prayers. And as we heard last week, even the Lord's Prayer, even in that, Jesus tells us to ask our Heavenly Father to supply our needs. However, you know, does that mean that God will answer every prayer the way we would like? Or that, you know, he's on a kind of standby situation to answer our requests no matter how selfish they may be? I am certain that there are conditions on having our prayers answered. And I've listed a few here. You might want to make a note of them. But I think that if we're going to receive this incredible promise from God, if we're going to receive power in the form of being able to do things because God's equipped us when we ask, then we need to know how to ask. First of all, a person must be a child of God. I kind of believe God only hears prayers, or only hears one prayer from a lost person. And that prayer is the prayer of faith when an unsaved person asks for forgiveness and receives Christ as their Saviour. I believe God does not answer the prayers of those that reject him as their Lord and Saviour. And John 9 verse 13 confirms that. It says, "We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will." I believe we cannot come to God without belief or faith in God. And if we do, I mean, if we actually can't round up that faith, if times are so tough, then get with somebody else or come to God and say, "God, I believe, but help me in my unbelief." We need to come to God with our belief and faith that he is going to do what he says he's going to do. Hebrews 11, 6, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." It's important to come to the Lord having faith in him. James 1, 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does." You know, we can come to the Lord in faith. We can come to the Lord and knowing that he is going to answer our prayer, because we read about it in his word. When Jesus wrote these things down for us, or saw them, that they were written down for us, he was saying, "You can rely on this. This is never changing. I'm writing it down so we don't have to worry whether it's going to get lost in some, you know, person telling another person. I'm writing this down so you'll have it forever. This stands forever. I've made a promise and I intend to keep it." I think if we're going to have our prayers heard and answered by Jesus, we must come by the Father, I'm sorry, we must come in Jesus' name. That means that we come to God redeemed by the blood of Jesus, not in our own name or in our own power or strength, but come in faith and in the spirit of dependence on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. We need to know who we are and whose we are. We belong to the Lord. And when we come, we're not coming as strangers. We're not kind of coming and knocking on the door saying, "I hope he might have something for me." We're coming to our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're coming to him and we belong there. We've been invited in, taken into his family. It's a great thought, isn't it? We come in Jesus' name. We can't expect the Lord to answer prayer if we have unconfessed sin in our life. It's not whether we have sin in our life, that's a given. We have sin in our life, but we need to confess it. And we can see an example of that in Isaiah 59 verse 1. It says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is the ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." We need to get rid of the sin that's in our life. It doesn't actually, it's not that complicated a process. It's not like we're going to lose the house or the car over this. We just have to go to God with a sincere and open heart and say, "God, you know what? I've sinned. I've got it wrong again. But thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes my sins away. I accept that sacrifice. I'm absolutely certain that having brought this to you and asked for forgiveness, it is gone." It's a great place to be, isn't it? We cannot expect God to answer our prayer if we're not doing his will. You know, living for God, it involves more than just keeping the written commands of the Lord. It involves doing what God wants us to do in our lives. John 9:31 says, "Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, he hears him." If anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, he hears him. Isn't that great? Because Jesus has already said, if you know he has heard you, then you have what you asked. If anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, he hears him. I believe every Christian would want to see the power of God working in their life. There are many people who want to help others. There are people in churches today that, you know, that want to do the same things that Jesus did. And I believe in these scriptures we find the key to make that a reality in our life. I believe there are people who have given up expecting to see miracles from God as well. They've given up expecting God to heal that impossible situation or provide that difficult need. And maybe, you know, the answer is yet to come. Maybe the answer lies with the relationship we have with our God. Maybe, yeah, we need to take a leaf from Jesus' book as well, though. Maybe we need to take a leaf from Jesus' book and spend intimate time with the Father. Pray to him in Jesus' name. Pray in accordance with his will and get fueled up before we start the journey, not after we have a crash at the end. And always trust, always believe that what he said is what he'll do. You know, I guess we all know it. I know his word is true. I know the impossible becomes possible when we pray. I know that prayer changes things. It has the ability to turn situations around and create opportunities. Through prayer, healings can come and souls can be saved. But it's not the open check that some people would like it to be. We just can't live the way the world does and expect God to answer every request that, you know, kind of comes to our mind. But what we can expect is that if we live for God, if we trust in Jesus, then all of his promises will come to pass in our life. If we know his will, and if we purpose to live for him, and if we pray to the Father in Jesus' name, there is nothing that would be impossible for us to achieve. That can be a mindset for us. You know, we kind of look at things and think that they're, you know, this is more difficult than, you know, we've never seen this happen before. But I'm saying there is nothing that would be impossible. Nothing. We started off today looking at the way Jesus prayed, looking at his grace and the power behind his prayers. And, you know, I think if we want that to happen in our life, then we need to see how Jesus did it and do that. We need to do it the same way Jesus did it. I believe if we follow his example, then we will do incredible things. That incredible things will happen in our presence. That we will see sick people healed and the dead raised. If we're praying God's will, if we're praying the way he prayed, And I believe there is nothing in this world that can stop us seeing incredible miracles and incredible things happen. And you know, you might be a prayer like that, and you might walk out of this world with not two bob to rub together, but you'll have a richness beyond anything you can possibly imagine for eternity. I'd like to close with that scripture we've already read in John 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. There's two ways you can take that. Anyone who has faith in me will do the things. I believe that's true. We'll see those things happen. But what we could also take it this way. Anyone who has faith in me will do the things in the same way that I do them. You see the difference? You'll not only do the things, but you'll do them in the same way that I did them. He will even do greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. I know we all want that. We all want to see God working through us. We all have compassion for something that we want to see changed. I'm saying this beyond any shadow of a doubt. I believe God's power is there for us for that, that He wants it as well. If we pray in accordance with His will, if we pray the same way that Jesus prayed, then nothing will be impossible. Well, Father, I just thank you for your promises to us. I thank you, Lord, that we don't see the depth of this, but I know that we can. I pray, Lord, that over the next little while, as we still reach into the depths of this great gift that we have, this great treasure that we have of prayer, I pray that we will, that you'll equip us, Lord. I'm asking that you pour out your Spirit on House of the Rock Church. I'm asking that you pour out your Spirit on everyone here that comes to this place, and that we will handle the Word of God correctly, and that we will see a greater purpose than just maybe our own needs, but we'll pray for everything, our needs and whatever needs come up. I'm asking, Lord God, that we will ask you for everything. And Father, I pray that we'll know how to do that in Jesus' name, in accordance with your will. Lord, I'm looking forward to the day when we will see incredible miracles, not just on occasions as we may see them from time to time, but every day. Father, the world's such a dry place. The world is full of lonely, heartbroken, desperate, hopeless people. Father, we have the light. We have the answer to their needs. Show us what to do. Work on us, Lord, I pray, till we get this right. And then set us loose on those who don't know you. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.